Okay, this evening we're going to spend some time with Ramayana and the personalities from Ramayana. And this evening it's two very contrasting personalities, Sugriva and Bali. You've heard of them?
Yeah.
Yeah? What can you remember about either Sugriva or Vali?
Vali was strong.
Yeah, he sure was. And? Sugriva? He had a relationship with Lord Ramachandra. What was that relationship? Friendship. What do you remember?
Sugriva had a friendship with Rama when he wanted to find Sita.
Right.
So he helped him kill Vali because he wanted the throne back.
Not just wanted the throne back. He didn't exactly want the throne. He got the throne back, but he wanted his wife back. Yeah, no. Vali took his wife. And that's why we're going to hear tonight. That's why Ramachandra killed him. Not because of friendship, but because it's the duty of a king to, when persons transgress codes of conduct, to punish them. And such a transgression, according to Vedic culture, is punishable by death. What Vali did, specific to the wife of his younger brother. Anything you can think about between these two, Sugriva and Vali? Here's one. Who was the father of Sugriva and who was the father of Vali? One of them was the sun god and the other was Indra. Who's who? You remember? You don't remember. You remember?
They both had the same mother.
That's right.
I think it was Arjuna's charioteer, Aruna.
That's one of the Ramayanas. It's a very interesting story. It's a like really complicated story. It's like, okay, we're going to hear. But so they let's not do that one. That's too complicated. It'll take like a half an hour to go through that one. But the standard one, because that's from there's many Ramayanas, and one of the Ramayanas tells this one. Kumbha Ramayana, it tells this story you're about to narrate. But commonly the Valmiki Ramayana and Aranya Ramayana and so forth say, like this one you'll know, the Pandavas. No. Pandu, Dhritarashtra Pandu, and Vidura were brothers. But they had different mothers. But they had the same father. And similar, but kind of the reverse, these two brothers had the same mother, but a different father. How that happened was, going way back in the beginning of the Ramayana, in the Bala Kanda section, when Dasarath wanted sons, and he had no sons, so there was a Pavitra Kameshti Yajna that was being performed by a sage. Remember his name? Rishashringa? Remember that one? Rishashringa was performing the Yajna. While that Yajna was going on in the heavenly realms, this is Ayodhya and that's the heavenly realm. So over there in the heavenly realm, the demigods were distressed about you-know-who. Ravana. So they were appealing to Lord Vishnu to do something about Ravana and all these terrible people that were disturbing everything. So Lord Vishnu agreed to appear in this world. And so he was appearing in this world as the would-be, the soon-to-be son of Dasarath, but it would be actually four sons of Dasarath. And then Brahma informed the demigods, yay, Vishnu is going to take care of our problem, and he wants us to make appearances in this world through sons. But the boon that Brahma gave was you can't be killed by a demigod, you can't be killed by this one, that one. But he didn't say humans, and he didn't say animals. So by your mystic powers, you produce offspring in those different species. And their capability of producing offspring was pretty interesting. There was no normal way of producing offspring, and then instantly they were born as adults. No, instantly they were born with no delay. Something like what happened, Puranic stories are really far out. Something like what happened with Satyavati and Parashramuni, where Vyasa was born, like, boom. There was no pregnancy. She says, boom. So the Vanaras were also born like that. Just quickly they were born without any difficulty. And Indra was the father of which of the two? Vali, right? Indra was the father of Vali. And the Surya was the father of Sugriva. But they were born from the wife of Riksaraj. Riksaraj. Riksharaj. And, you know, there's different understandings of who Riksharaj is. A common one that you'll find if you look carefully in the Bhagavatam, he's identified with Bhagavan, Jambavan. The two terms are used interchangeably. Riksharaj and Jambavan. Jambavan and Riksharaj. You'll find it in the Bhagavatam. But my understanding is in Ramayana, it's a king of the monkeys. Riksaraj was a king of the monkeys. Whichever, Riksaraj's wife gave birth to both sons, and therefore their brothers. And the elder of the two and the stronger of the two was Vali. So Vali, when they matured, Vali became the king of the Vanaras, and his younger brother was just assisting him, and he was happy to assist him. But it was known that Vali was, he had a hot temper. But he was like really, really strong. So this isn't really chronological, but it is logical, not chronological. What's some of the exhibitions of the strength of Vali? One of the exhibitions of the strength of Vali is, oh, you want to say?
He had a power that whoever comes in front of him, he takes half his strength.
That's a benediction that came to him from Indra. And it's like a surefire, whoever you're going to have combat with, because they would combat, whatever the opponent is, there's the strength of Vali and then the half of the other person's strength. So immediately it's half and half plus his strength. Pretty good. He's always going to win. Whatever the other opponent is, half and half and plus his strength. What else? No. He had the capacity to travel mystically. Every day he would rise at sunrise and he would do sandhyavanam in four different directions. He would go to the east ocean, the west ocean, the south ocean, and somewhere in the Himalayas while the sun was still rising. Zoom and zoom and zoom and zoom and zoom. So he was mystically powerful. He had the capacity. These are things that were told by by Sugriva when he was discussing with Ram about his power, because Ram wanted to know, what's his strength? So he would go to rip off the tops of mountains and toss them in the air and play with them. He would take a sal tree. Now, I don't know exactly what a sal tree is, but apparently it's a very hardwood type of tree. Like here, it's oak, it's hardwood. So there it's sal trees. Arjuna trees are also hardwood with deep roots. So when Krishna uprooted the twin Arjuna trees, that was a big deal. I learned that from Dinabandhu. Sal trees, really thick, really hard wood, and he would just uproot them and throw them around. He with seven arrows, according to what Sugriva said, he pierced a sal tree, seven different sal trees with seven different arrows. So he wanted to see Ram do one, and Ram did seven, and more than that. He went all the way to Patala Loka and back in his quiver in 1 hour. So, whoa. You can beat Bali, no problem. And here's another one. We heard this way back several days ago. He was stronger than Ravan. And that's pretty strong. So one time when Ravana was like in his conquering mood, he went to Kishkinda. Yeah, you know the story. He went to Kishkinda. And it was early in the morning, and his wife's mother came, and some others came. Sugriva was there, and Vali's wife's mother was there, and so he wanted to know, where. I heard Vali's really strong. Where is he? Said, "You're gonna have to wait." What? I don't wait for anybody. Well, if you don't want to wait, he's at the South Sea. You can go there and you can get defeated over there if you like. So he went in his Pushpaka Vimana, because he had already, defeated Kuvera. So now he had this Vimana. And so he went and he parked the Pushpaka Vimana and snuck up on Vali. Vali saw him coming. He didn't indicate that he saw him coming, but he saw him coming. And he waited till he got close by. He just grabbed him and put him under his armpit while he was, and held him tightly like that while he was finishing his prayers. Cause he was religious. He did his morning prayers. And then he kept him under his armpit when flying some distance to the next of the four directions, cause he went south first. And then when he came back to Kishkind, he put him down. And Robin said, "Wow, that was really good. Let's make friendship." So they made a friendship. And Ravana stayed for a whole month. This is in Valmiki Ramayana. But, Vali was really strong. Really, really strong. And we'll hear some other examples of how strong he was as we are going along this evening, his encounter with Dundubi and so forth. So how did it happen? Well, let's tell the Dundubi story. There's different Ramayanas, so there's different versions. But Dundubi was a, I'll read. Dundubi was one of the two sons of Maya Dhanava. Who's Maya Dhanava? You know.
The great celestial architect.
Fantastic.
He also built something for Yudhishthira.
Yeah. You know what he built? Indraprastha, right?
And he also built a ginormous gathering hall or something.
Yeah, he did. Good for you. So... Maya Dhanava tells his story to Ravana. One time Ravana was hunting in the forest and he saw Maya Dhanava, and Maya Dhanava was there just with his daughter. And this is the daughter became the wife of Ravana. At that time he was Dasagriva. So you know the name of Ravana's wife? Yeah. Good for you. Good for you. So here's Dasagriva going through the forest, and in the forest he sees Maya Dhanava and wants to know, you know, who are you? What are you doing in the forest? And then he tells his story. He said, I was invited, the celestial architect was invited to attend a function in the heavenly planets. Because sometimes the Dhanavas would go by invitation. And so he went, and one of the celestial maidens who was present at that function, her name is Hema. And he became very attracted to Hema, and Hema became very attracted to him. And so they went together, and Maya Dhanava built a celestial palace for her, and they stayed together for thousands of years. Being very attached, I built a wonderful city for Hema, made of gold and jewels. However, 14 years ago, she left me to fulfill some purpose of the demigods. Overcome by grief, I left my beautiful city, and I am now wandering the forest, hoping to find a suitable husband for my daughter. Besides this girl, I have two sons, Mayavi and Dundubi, and then the daughter. Now, if I may ask, who are you, and what is your purpose here? So he heard from Dasagriva that he, Dasagriva, was the son of a great sage, Vishravas, Rishi. And so right there on the spot, they negotiated a little marriage arrangement, and Mandodari, right? Mandodari. She became married to Ravan. But then, so, important. At the time of the marriage, there was a gift to Ravana from Maya Dhanava, his father-in-law, and the gift was a spear that he had acquired from severe austerities, and it was that spear that pierced the body of Lakshmana. He got it from his father-in-law. So now let's go back to Sugriva and Bali were ruling together in Kishkinda. But then something happened. There's always something that happens. And Mayavi came, a demon named Mayavi. That's the son of Mayadhanava. Now, there's two different versions, but this version says Mayavi, son of Mayadhanava, had some disagreement with Vali over a woman. Doesn't say what that disagreement was, but I can imagine something. And so Mayavi came to Kishkinda in the dead of night and started making big noise and challenged Vali to come and have combat with him. Mystical Mayavi, son of Mayadhanava. Vali woke up and he was roaring and he came charging out of the palace along with his brother, following right behind him, Vali and Sugriva. And when the two humongous monkeys came out of the palace, Mayavi got scared and started running. And he ran and ran and ran and went as far as the Malaya Hills. Now, I don't know Kishkinda or Hampi and how far that is from the Malaya Hills, but that's what Ramayana says. And he entered a cave. And then there was some discussion about wanting to go into the cave and finding him and finishing him. Sugriva begged, "Let me go with you." He said, "No, you stay and guard. Just wait till I come out." He extracted a promise from him, so he waited. He waited for a whole year. He must have gotten hungry or something. But a year passed and he hadn't come out. And then he heard this big roar. But he couldn't hear Vali's voice. He heard some other voice, a loud, screaming, roaring sound. And then this gush of blood came out of the cave. And since he didn't hear Vali's voice, he thought maybe Vali is dead. So he put a mountain-sized boulder in front of the cave and went back and reported it to the ministers. I mean, he didn't have confirmation, but he just put two and two together and came up with 16. Vali's dead. And so the ministers said, "We have to have a king." So they appointed him king. They crowned him king. They did with the rituals and he became king. So he's wearing the royal crown and so forth. And after some time, Vali came back. He came to the mouth of the cave. There was this giant boulder in front of the cave. He pushed it away. He was really strong. And then he went back to his kingdom. And there he saw his brother wearing his crown, sitting on his throne, and he was enraged. He's a strong fellow. He knows how to do what he wants. He just uses his strength. Kings do that. Usually. Not all of them. But some of them do. So he lost it. He went on a rage and put his ministers in chains and kicked Bali out of Sugriva out of the kingdom with just one cloth, it says this consistently, and took his wife. And then he began chasing him. So that comes up later. We'll hear a little bit more about chasing and chasing and chasing all over the earth planet. And then it occurred to Sugriva, there's one place he won't go. I mean, it says he went in all directions. He went in the Himalayas, he couldn't find a good hiding place. He went here, he went there. But Rishimukh Mountain is a good place. So he had four assistants or ministers with him, and they stayed by his side faithfully, and one of them was Hanuman. So Do you know the reason, at any of you three, know the reason why he wouldn't go, Vali wouldn't go to Rishimukh Mountain? Oh, you all know. Wait. You're not volunteered anything yet. So, okay, put your hand down. You can correct him if he gets it wrong. Go ahead.
He was cursed that he couldn't go up there.
And why was the curse? What was the circumstances around the curse?
That he couldn't enter the mountain otherwise.
But what was the reason why the curse was given? Dundubi. You remember? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Let's hear the story. Let's hear the story. Let's hear the story. It's much better when printing things, it's one side, because it's two sides, it's really confusing. Here it is. There was a mighty demon named Dundubi, who used to assume the form of a water buffalo. Dundubi possessed the strength of 1,000 elephants. Deluded by a boon which he had received, his mind had become wicked due to pride, so he approached Varuna for battle. Varuna said, oh, you're much stronger than me. There's no contest here. But someone that's really strong, much stronger than me, is Himavan. Approach him. He's the father-in-law of Lord Shiva, and he'll be a good match for you. So Dundubi rubbed his hands together and went off to Himavan, the Himalayas. But Himavan just surrendered to him and said, you know, you're too good. You really want some competition? Go to Vali, son of Indra. He's the strongest around. So he went to the place of Vali's kingdom and roared and challenged Vali, and Vali came charging out, big battle, and he smashed him. And he took his body and threw it in the air, a distance of 1 yojana, which is 8 miles. And as the body of Dundubi was flying through the air, here's what happened. The body of Dundubi was flying through the air, and some blood was coming and landed in the hermitage of Sage Matunga. It contaminated the hermitage. So because he was a great sage, he knew what the reason was, and then he cursed this Vali. If he comes some distance within the region of this hermitage, which included Rishimukh Mountain, his head will burst into 100 pieces. Not just 14 or 7, 100 pieces. There's a different version which goes like this, where Mayavi is the son of Dundubi. It's in Valmiki Ramayan, Kishkinda Kanda. It's also in Mahabharata, Vanaparva, same version that I'm about to explain. Mayavi was the son of Dundubi. And when Dundubi was killed, Mayavi wanted to take revenge, and Mayavi came and did what Mayavi did. So, but in that circumstance, when Vali chased Sugriva here and there, one of the places he didn't go was Rishimukh Mountain because of the curse of the sage Matanga, because of the blood of Dundubi, that was as he was flying 8 miles in the air and came in for a crash landing. When we went to Hampi, we visited the place where it is said 8 miles away is the bones of Dundubi. Now, whether it's the bones of Dundubi or not, I don't know. But there's a little temple, and that's what they say. So now comes Vali. We're going to hear... Gosh. Let's go to Sugriva and then back to Bali, because both of them are being discussed. They're brothers. So they got into this disagreement, and life-threatening disagreement. So Sugriva's living up on a mountaintop with his four ministers in constant fear, because his brother would sometimes, you know, who knows what he would do. And you know what happened next, where Ram and Lakshman are searching for Sita, and Shabari says, you're looking for Sugriva, he's up there. And so they start heading for Rishimukh Mountain. And as they're heading for Rishimukh Mountain, Sugriva sees them coming. And he's, you know, gets really nervous. What's this? Who are these people? He's very suspicious. And when you get beat up a lot, you get suspicious. Who is this? He's wearing a set of clothes, but has bow and arrow and sword and... Whoa. And Hanuman says, stop worrying. You're in a place where no one can come. No one can harm you up here. Well, maybe it's not Vali, but messengers of Vali, and maybe it's some trick, and Hanuman is deputed to go and find out. Because Hanuman and all the Vanaras have different mystic powers. One of those mystic powers, it's one of the 8 mystic powers, that you can assume any form you like. So he was instructed... Assume the form of a brahmana. So he did. And he went in the form of a brahmana. And his mission was, you know, friend or foe. Good guys or bad guys. So Hanuman, being very, very expert, and also being a pure devotee, as soon as Hanuman was in the presence of Lakshman and Ram, he knew immediately. There's this really wonderful exchange, which is not our topic for this evening. And Hanuman volunteered, let me take you to Sugriva. So he took him to Sugriva. But it's way up this mountain, so no problem, I'm a monkey. He got really big, put them on his shoulders, and zoom, up he went to the top of the mountain to meet Sugriva with his other 3 ministers and Hanuman. I really like this part. Just Hanuman's words. Here's this, you know, really nervous, not trusting anybody, Sugriva. And just Hanuman's words. They're to be trusted. Not only to be trusted, make friendship. And together, this friendship, you'll achieve your purposes. And he will achieve his with your help. And he has that wisdom. One of the commentaries on Ramayana was written by Govindaraja. And he wrote it in Tamil. And he gathered from, here's how the lineage goes. Yamunacharya taught Sri Shailapurna the 18 main themes of Ramayana. 14 of them are about surrender. And Sri Shailapurna was the maternal grandfather of Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya went to Tirupati and learned from Sri Shailapurna these 18. So Yamunacharya, Sri Shailapurna, Ramanujacharya, who taught it to his followers, and they followed Ramanujacharya. And then some number of generations later, Govindaraj was instructed by the deity of Tirupati to write a commentary in Ramayana. So he just gathered everything and he wrote it very beautifully. And one of those, it's number 3 out of the 18, is that in order to, is exactly what Hanuman is doing here with Sugriva, which is you need an intermediary, someone that can introduce you. Not the guru function, it's another function. You know, when you introduce people to Krishna consciousness. You know. So Hanuman did that with Sugriva. And just his words, because Sugriva had trust, they had that relationship of trust, and he was a well-placed trust, immediately accepted. And he, you know, then they made their bond of friendship. So that's the Dasya Ras. It's a very important, all the rasas, all the 9 rasas are there within Ramayana. And this is one example of Dasya Rasa. A very good example. They were friends. Excuse me. Sakya Rasa. What am I saying? Sakya Rasa. Friendship. So it goes on. Yeah, but I don't know how much time we have here. It's 7:10. Sugriva explains that to Ram that we saw Ravana going that way, passed over Rishimukh Mountain. He, Sugriva, got the glance of Sita. She saw him. She didn't like just wave. She was, you know, was calling to him for assistance. And with her cloth, dropped some jewels and ornaments, and Ram wanted to see them. So they were brought out. They went to a special place and Ram saw them, and just seeing them, he was seeing Sita. And he lost composure. Sugriva then performed the function of a friend to another friend and comforted him, made his pledge, I will help you regain Sita. Later we hear Tara saying that Vali had spies and found out there were 1 billion Rakshasas in Lanka. I mean, that's a lot of people. But in any case, 1 billion. And, you know, Ram isn't going to be able to defeat, you know, Ravan without also dealing with the 1 billion. And they're, you know, powerful. Of course, he took care of 14,000 just himself. But in any case, so, you know, there's this pact of taking care of the needs of Sugriva and the needs of Ram. Because this is one of the things that, what was the Virada said? One of the ways to help achieve a purpose is 2 people who have similar needs, they help one another. That's like, you know, kind of just a worldly rule, not a transcendental rule of any kind. But Sugriva is in the same situation as you, so make friendship and you'll help each other. So then Ram wanted to understand, why are you living up here on the mountain? He told this whole story. And I'm here because of, you know, Vali won't come here. But, you know, he usurped my wife, just like Ravana usurped yours. And so then Ram said, what's his strength? And after finding out what his strength was, then Sugriva was saying, well, you know, he's really strong. And how do I know? So Lakshman stepped forward. He's like, he plays a very important role in Ramayana. One of those is he serves like a minister on behalf of Ram. He He discusses things with other people while Ram is just observing. Like that's one of the descriptions that happened when Hanuman, they first meet Hanuman. Ram doesn't speak to Hanuman. Ram speaks to Lakshman. This is what I heard. This is what I observed. What do you think? Because he's his minister. He's not dealing directly with Hanuman yet. Anyway, so Lakshman suggests, what is it that you think will prove you'll be convinced? Well, there was two things. Dindobi, and here's his bones. So, you know, if he can lift his bones, then that's a good test. So Ram just flicked with his foot, and the not just 8 miles, but 80 miles, the bones went flying. And he said, well, it's just at bones. And it's like he was this huge thing with carcass and flesh and everything. So what else? Well, see those 7 sal trees? So Ram, you know what he did with the 7 sal trees? And he came back and he said, whoa, I'm convinced. So then Ram said, this is really important. It's two things really important from our acharyas, from the Sri Vaishnava acharyas. Say, when they were first introduced, Sugriva honored Ram by taking a certain kind of a set of leaves from the tree and making a sitting place for Ram. But he didn't do the same for Lakshman. Hanuman knew, and Hanuman did, but he still hadn't done. So the lesson from the acharyas is, you can't get the mercy of Ram without the mercy of the representative of Ram. You know, that's like you can't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Right? And Nityananda is Lakshman. Or Balaram. That is to Krishna. So when they went, Ram suggests, let's go do a battle and I'll finish him. So they go to do battle and Vali smashes Sugriva. And Sugriva's looking and Ram doesn't do anything. So, you know, the part that we all know is when they came back, he said, you know, if I knew that you weren't going to do anything, I never would have gone to begin because he's so strong. I get whooped. Plus he has this benediction from Indra that half of my strength goes to him plus his strength. So he's going to be victorious. I would never go. I'm afraid of him. He beat me up too many times. So if I had known that you weren't going to do anything, I would have gone. So why didn't you do anything? You know, you're supposed to be a truthful Kshatriya. I said, well, I couldn't tell which two of you were. And so to me, till I read the commentary, it didn't make any sense. Lakshman suggested, I'll get a vine. So, you know, a vine, when you're in the middle of a fighting with somebody, what's a vine going to do? A garland of, but the acharyas say to receive the garland, he had to bow his head down to Lakshman. Okay. You get the mercy of Guru. You get the mercy of Ram. Then he went back and then the fight and he was all getting wasted and Sugriva's looking here and there and Ram decides now is the time and he fires one arrow and it's a big arrow and it hits the chest of Vali. And Vali doesn't die right away because this necklace that he has, it's not only half the strength of the other person, but it protects his life. Got too many unnumbered pages. So it's really nice what he says. So I want to find what he says. Yeah, here it is. This is Vali's criticism. Although knocked down on the ground, Vali's body did not lose its life, beauty, splendor, or glory. An excellent golden chain set with a set diamond, given to him by Indra, preserved that monkey's life, effulgence, and beauty. The arrow, fired from Ram's bow, prepared the way to the spiritual world for Vali, by which he could achieve the highest destination. With great respect, Ram and Lakshman slowly approached the fallen warrior. Vali spoke the following words, which polite, harsh, yet indicative of righteousness. You are the renowned son of a king, famous and of pleasing appearance. What merit will you achieve by shooting me in the chest with an arrow while I was absorbed in fighting and looking in another direction? All living beings speak of your glories in this world in the following way. Ram is of noble birth and the embodiment of goodness. He is courageous and has executed rigorous vows. He knows how to be compassionate and is engaged in the welfare of all the citizens. He is merciful, eager for victory, conversant with the proper time for doing things, and firm in his vows. He gives those nice qualities. Self-control, peacefulness, forgiveness, righteousness, fortitude, truthfulness, and valor. These are the qualities of monarchs, O King, as also chastisement for offenders. Believing that you possessed all these qualities and recognizing your extraordinary ancestry, I went to fight with Sugriva, even though dissuaded by my wife, Tara. As long as I could not see you, I believed that you would not attack me while I was fighting with someone else, with concentration and unaware of your presence. Now, I know that you are a shallow character, an unrighteous hypocrite, committing sinful deeds like a deep well concealed by grass. I did not know that you were a sinful rogue. Speaking to Ram. Sinful rogue in the dress of the pious, completely enveloping yourself in a guise of piety. I have never committed any offense in your kingdom or capital. I have never even met you before, nor did I even mock you. I am just a forest monkey who always lives in fruits and roots. Having spoken in this way, Vali stared at Ram. His mouth was parched around the edges. Being pained by the arrow that pierced him, the son of the sun god became silent. Vali also pointed out that he could have easily brought back Sita from whatever solitary place and slain her abductor. I've been slain by you in order to gratify Sugriva, but I would have delivered you to Ravan, delivered to you, Ravan, with a rope around his neck without killing him in battle. There's a comment that says, Vali was easier to slay than Kumbhakarna. The arrow that Ram used to pierce the seven trees and the arrow that Ram used to pierce Vali wouldn't have worked with Kumbhakarna. So Ram patiently listens to these harsh words. And then replied, your accusations show that you are actually ignorant of true morality. Monkeys are by nature frivolous because of their uncontrolled minds. Because you are a monkey, and your advisors are also monkeys, you cannot understand Dharma. Now, it appears that the dharma that applies to vanaras also applies to humans, or vice versa. They're in this unique position. The entire earth, with its mountains, forests, and rivers, is ruled over by the dynasty of Ikshvaku. The kings of the Ikshvaku dynasty have complete authority over all men and animals and the power to punish or reward whomever they please. It is you who have acted sinfully under the sway of lust and greed. You have taken Ruma, the wife of your younger brother, and enjoyed her as your wife. It is for this sinful act that you deserve to die in my hands. Death is the proper punishment for one who has sexual relations with his daughter, daughter-in-law, sister, or the wife of a younger brother. If a king does not punish a sinner, then he himself becomes sinful. It is for this reason that I promise to kill you and thus enable Sugriva to regain his wife and kingdom. Aside from this, it is an accepted practice that while hunting, Kshatriyas release their arrows at inattentive animals from a hidden place. Therefore, since you are a monkey, my act does not bear the slightest fault. And then as far as this other argument, I could have regained Sita for you, is dismissed this way. Bringing Sita from the captivity of Ravan would have averted Vali's death, so Vali thought. But who will bring Ruma, the wife of Sugriva, and give her back to Sugriva? Any truce between Vali and Ram was an impossible and improbable proposition. On hearing the words of Ram, Vali became repentant and requested Ram to deliver him with words conducive to righteousness, for as he was the one who had transgressed morality. And then there's further exchange. This is now with Vali, an exchange between Vali and Ram, asking for the protection of his son, Angada, asking Ram to help facilitate a respectful relationship between Sugriva and Angada, because Sugriva will be the protector of everyone, and he should not have animosity towards Angada because of what I have done. He should adopt the same attitude towards Sugriva and Angada that he had toward Bharat and Lakshmana. He's asking Ram like that. Take them like your brothers. He should also see that Sugriva does not disregard Tara, whose only fault is the offense committed by himself, Vali. So there's many other exchanges. It's 7:30. There's advice to Sugriva about Tara. I like this. He should, and wait, oh, that no, that's in a different place. Well, we already discussed Tara, but he says to Sugriva something like this. Whatever Tara says is right. Anything she's ever said, it came to be true. And my mistakes have only been when I didn't heed what she said. She's very wise. And whatever she advises, please accept her advice and give her protection. So then Ram gives his assurance. She and Angada will be protected. And just hearing that, that's enough for Vali. You know, elevated people, they don't need other than such words, because whenever a truthful person speaks, it comes true. He advised Angada to be loyal to Sugriva, follow his orders without fail, and Vali gave up his life. Yeah, so this it's a big deal. Sugriva joyfully offered Ram a seat of honor by breaking a branch of a sal tree and offering it as a chair. Then Hanuman offered similar hospitality to Lakshmanan. This is a very significant incident where Sugriva is offering a seat to Ram without offering one to Lakshman. Later on, Ram corrected Sugriva, not only in etiquette, but the most important aspect of to attain the protection of the Supreme, you require the proper regard for those who are representing him. Yeah. So Sugriva got mercy, starting with Sita's mercy, and then Hanuman, and Hanuman being the mediator and so forth, and then friendship with Ram. He lost himself with licentiousness. There's a whole long section after he regained the kingdom. It was the rainy season, and he lost it. Tara didn't judge him. Ram became angry. You know the whole story, the story? How Ram became angry? You know, you don't know. She knows. What happened?
So after Sugriva became king, he was like enjoying himself and entirely forgot the promise
yeah.
that he gave to...
He was lost, yeah.
So then he was lost in all his pleasure and happiness. So Ram became angry.
There's two people that helped them out. Who are those two people that helped them out? Hanuman. Hanuman advised Sugriva, hey, Sugriva, it's that time. Rainy season is over. You better send your people to go bring the vanaras from all different directions to come here. Don't be ungrateful. You receive something. Don't be ungrateful. And he knew he was right. And he did what Hanuman advised. Then Tara also advised. So when Lakshman came enraged, and Angada saw him in a rage, as Ram said, don't go into a rage, but he did. Just, you know, tell him to get with it. Do your service. Lakshman was really angry. Angada went and told Tara and Sugriva. And Sugriva said, why is he mad? And he said, because you got lost in licentiousness and sensuality and you forgot your promise. And he doesn't want you to forget your promise. So Sugriva said, can you go and calm him down first? So she very expertly, just her presence, he became calm at least for a moment. And she spoke so beautifully. We already discussed this when we spent some time discussing Tara's life. Very eloquent speaker. But when in her company, Lakshman was brought before Sugriva, there was all these ladies and the opulence all over the place, bearing big garlands and things. He became angry again. And then Tara had to one more time cool him. And it seems that the words that she spoke were really very good. She didn't say what he's doing is okay, but it's understandable. And he's already taken steps. And, you know, by tomorrow, that was the day when all these soldiers, I'll introduce you. You'll be introduced to all the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands or whatever vanaras that are coming from all directions to assist Ram. So she's not just because she's a lady. I mean, that helped because, you know, she's a gentle lady, but she's very skilled. And Lakshman became calm. And everything worked out. So there's a bunch more, but Yeah, I want to say this. When Devanras came from all directions and Sugriva is playing the king role, and you go this direction, that direction, the other direction, it gives all kinds of details of where they should go and make sure you check this, that, and the other thing. And Ram says, wow, how did you know all these details? How is it that you are familiar with the entire earth disk? That doesn't say globe. Disk. Disk. Bhumandala. Disk. That's another description because I want to read this. Vali said, Sugriva said, after when he's running from Vali, I returned the kingdom to him out of respect, for I was afraid of his anger. Desiring to kill me, the wicked Vali, who was mentally deranged, chased me as I ran with my ministers, the four ministers. Being pursued by Vali, I ran quickly, seeing many different rivers, forests, and towns. I saw the whole earth as clearly as the reflection in a mirror. Everything passing by me like a whirling firebrand. Thus, the world seemed no bigger than the hoofprint of a cow. When I reached the eastern region, I saw many different kinds of trees, as well as mountains, rivers, and many different charming lakes. There I saw the eastern mountain containing deposits of minerals, and also the ocean of milk. Ocean of milk. So he was moving through Bhumandala. That's the flat earth theory. Another time. I can go into Vedic cosmology, but which is the constant abode of celestial damsels. Being pursued by Vali, I hurriedly returned and headed for the southern region where lies the thickly forested Vindhya Mountains adorned with sandalwood trees. After seeing those mountains and trees, I then left the southern region, heading elsewhere. Thus I reached the western region while being chased by Vali. Seeing those mountains and trees, I reached the western region. While being pursued by Vali, I saw different lands and the excellent mountain. When I reached that mountain, I raced toward the north. As I fled from Vali, I could not find any shelter in the Himalayas, on Mount Meru, or at the Northern Ocean. Then Hanuman said to me, his minister, got the answer. I just now remembered how Vali was cursed by the sage Matunga, that if he ever entered the hermitage, his head would certainly burst into how many pieces? 100 pieces. We could live there happily without any fear. While I resided at Rishimukh Mountain, Vali did not enter for fear of the sage Matunga's curse. In that way, O King, I personally saw the whole earth disk, not globe, and after which I took up residence in a cave on Rishimukh Mountain. So Sugriva was involved in the battle in Lanka, and they all lived happily ever after. They were present for the coronation also. Sita wanted all the Vanaras and their wives would come for Ram's coronation, so they did. It was a big party. And I don't know how I'm going to do this with Chinese translation, because it's going to take twice as long. Pray for me, okay? Okay, so any discussion? Comments? Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So at the beginning of the class, you mentioned that when Vishnu agrees to take birth as Rama, that time all the demigods...
Simultaneous, yes.
Yes, so all the demigods are told, Brahma tells all the demigods that since Ravana cannot be, he didn't ask for a boon for humans or animals, you can go ahead and propagate in those forms, right?
Yeah.
So essentially, if you look at Vali or Sugriva, they were born through sun god, Surya Bhagavan and Indra.
Yeah.
So when they were born with a purpose to assist Rama
yeah.
by Brahma, how is it that someone like Vali went rogue?
Went astray.
Yeah, that's my first question.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer exactly, other than, you know, pride can destroy everything good. And he was proud. So beware of pride. There was a purpose, but, you know, for his lila, you know, a deeper explanation is, there's a purpose in the lila of Ram, so persons may take an opposition position for the purpose of Ram, the purpose of his lila. Yeah. That is, the bond of the friendship with Sugriva, and, you know, the whole drama of the Vanaras going and destroying the Rakshasas and so forth. But, you know, the similarity between Sugriva's plight, you know, because he had respect for Ram, but he was proud. And with pride came so many other things. Licentiousness, sinfulness, anger. Pride brings all those things.
So, I mean, it kind of causes a little bit of unrest, right? Because you have someone like Vali and Sugriva who were sent with the pure purpose of assisting Rama, and then pride brought them
but
down.
But you can deviate. You can have a purpose and deviate, isn't it?
So what is there hope for us who
aren't
deviate. Even put with that?
Don't become proud.
Thanks, Maharaj. Can I ask a follow-up question
yeah.
for that? So you were also saying that Sugriva saw Sita being carried away by Ravana. Sugriva and Hanuman, I think. So Hanuman was someone who crossed over the entire ocean and went to Lanka to rescue Sita.
Yeah.
But when he actually saw Ravana carrying away Sita, whether he knew at that point whether it was Sita or not, isn't it their dharma to go and rescue her? And they didn't do that. They just watched.
Oh, you know the answer to that one. You just forgot. Sure you do. When I'll tell you, you go, oh yeah. When Hanuman was little.
He was cursed too. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. You're right. Thanks.
You have another one?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I? Last one,
I promise. Yeah, you go right ahead. Go right ahead. She's very patient. I've noticed she's very patient.
So my other question was about Sugriva. So when Sugriva told Rama about all the strengths of Vali, he told him first to lift the bones of Dundubi, and he kept testing his strength.
Yes.
Why did he do that when he realized that this was...
And, you know, when you get beat up a bunch, it's hard to trust people. That was his space. That was the discomfort. You know, he was traumatized. And when you're traumatized, you can't think so well. That was what was going on. He trusted his ministers. And he just was distrustful about anybody and everything. Maybe it's Raleigh's trick, maybe this, maybe that. It's human. It's understandable.
Thanks, Maharaj.
Okay. Now the patient one.
Okay, so I have a couple questions.
Okay.
So my first one was, when Brahma granted the boon to the devas for their son, I think, in the beginning, why didn't they grant the boon that they can't be killed by animal or human? Why did he not say that?
Because of pride. Who cares about humans and animals? I'm Ravana.
I'm talking about the boon Brahma granted.
But he granted what Ravana asked for.
Oh.
Ravana asked, don't let me not be killed by this one, that one, the other one.
Okay.
Next.
So, I have a couple of questions. So
keep going. You're on a roll. Keep going.
My next question was that, wait, give me a sec.
What is it?
Why did Vali won over Sugriva? Why did he also kidnap Ruma? Why couldn't he have just been satisfied with his own wife? He has a pretty good
because
wife.
Because he was sinful. And that sinful thing, your mom asked the same question. She just asked it from a different angle. And he was proud. Some of it's proud, I don't care. This is Narada Muni. When Narada Muni has this discussion, contemplation about the two sons of Kuvera, when he visits, and Nala Kuvera Manigriva, and they're proud, and he says, when somebody's proud, they can do anything and feel justified, because I'm me. And I can get away with anything. I can think some people like that. They're not the same as Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, but they're up there. Pride, people can do any horrible thing and they think it's okay. He was wanting to enjoy his younger brother's wife, and so he did. It's sinful, but he wasn't checked by that. So he had to pay a price.
Okay, so my last question, this is an entirely different question.
Good.
So should I ask it later or?
No, ask it now. Go for it. You're on a roll.
Okay. So my last question is, so in the Mahabharata, Balaram wants Subhadra to marry Duryodhana. Why is that?
Leela. I'll explain. Balaram just wants to please Krishna. And sometimes Krishna likes to exercise cleverness. So he was assisting Krishna to exercise his cleverness. How's that? Let's see Subhadra marry Duryodhana. No way! Subhadra wouldn't have married Duryodhana. Anyways. But, Krishna had to make a clever arrangement. So he made a clever arrangement. And he had fun. And Balaram was assisting Krishna having fun. By, doing something that looked like in opposition to Krishna. So Krishna had to be clever, respect his elder brother, and work it out differently. Krishna provided his own chariot and horses to kidnap Subhadra. It was cool. He was having fun. Although it looked like opposition, it was fun. You don't imitate Krishna. Don't.
I wasn't going to.
Oh, okay. Okay, next, you have something. Pass the microphone over to. No, you have something? Good. Okay.
So my first question is, everybody goes into the forest.
Everybody's what?
Goes into the forest multiple times in Mahabharata and Ramayana.
Yeah.
But, so, is it that back then, time was sped up, like in Brahmaloka, one day is faster than what it is here?
No. Well, I'm not sure what you're asking. They're still on earthly time. They're not on heavenly time in Mahabharata and Ramayana. Now, life duration is longer, but it's the same, it's the same scale of time. It's not heavenly time, it's earthly time. So what does that have to do with going to the forest as opposed to not going to the forest?
I mean, they spent so many set time of years was...
Oh, okay, okay. It has to do with... Okay. It doesn't have to do with heavenly time versus earthly time. It has to do with the duration of one life. So, the duration of life in Kali Yuga commonly is maximum 100 years. You know, it can be a little bit more, but usually less. Maximum 100 years. And then you go, multiply by 10, the next yuga, the yuga of Krishna. People live for 1,000 years. Add another, or multiply by another 10. 10,000 years, 100,000 years. So it's the same number of, the same span of time or scale of time, but just people lived longer because the modes of nature were different and the quality was different. Like in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, it says, at the end of this age of Kali, if somebody lives for 20, 30 years, they're a grand old man. 20, 30 years. That's your scale today. But, your scale today compared to the end of Dwarpa Yuga, they would also go, you only live for 100 years? Okay. That's your question. Second question.
There is a second one. You said Vedic disc philosophy in Vedas.
Vedic what kind of philosophy?
The disc, not disc. A globe, a disc.
Okay, yeah. You want to hear something about that?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a science class. But you can find out, if you really want your mind to spin, you can read Canto 5, Chapter 16 through 26. And it describes the structure of the universe. And in the structure of the universe, there's seven lower planetary systems, seven upper planetary systems. And, Rasatala, Patala, Atala, and so forth. Those are the lower ones. And then Bhumandala, Bhuvar, Svargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Brahmaloka. That's the seven upper. So now Bhumandala is a plane or a disc. It's a region that... I can describe it to you. It doesn't fit modern astronomy. It's not what you learn in science class. It's what you learn in Srimad Bhagavatam because it's another way of looking at the structure of the universe and even this part of the universe where we are, which is Bhu Mandala, Bhu Varloka, Swargaloka is heaven. So for this region where we are, it describes in this way. We call it flat topography. Topography, height. So there's seven islands that are circular with oceans surrounding each of the islands, and the central island is Jambudvip. Dweep means island. Jambudvip is the central island. And in this Jambudvip, there's nine tracts of land or sections of land called varshas. And this earth planet or globe or gola in Sanskrit is in the southern region, the southern varsha. And then there's eight other varshas in this Jambudvip. And then the central part of Jambudvip like a lotus flower, has this really tall stamen that sticks up and a flat thing at the top. So that's same. In the middle of Jambudvipa is a really tall mountain called Sumeru. It's so many yojanas tall. It's like 80,000 miles tall. So you're not going to find a mountain that's 80,000 miles tall. But it's Vedic cosmology. And, that's at the center of Jambudvipa. There's many other things that are described. On the top of that, here's what I can do to make it really easy. Relatively easy. I can provide, Vibhu Chaitanya a little, what's it called? A little video narrated by the Temple of Vedic Planetarium coordinator. He's a really nice devotee. I've developed a relationship with him. And it's a animated video showing the structure of the universe that's going to be displayed at the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. And this question you're asking is discussed there, because there's the seven lower Bhumandala, and then above and above and above. And what's at the very bottom? There's the Garbhadak Ocean. And resting on the Garbhadak Ocean is Anantashesh. And the hoods of Anantashesh are holding up the planets. And then he'll take you through it's animated, but it's what the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is going to look like. And it gives a structure that, including in your question, this disc or plane or flat topography of this earthly region. It's a different picture than modern astronomy and modern cosmology. It's the Vedic picture.
So, since like the Earth is flat, like what we've seen.
No. It Bhumandala is flat.
Oh, okay.
Bhumandala is flat, and Earth is just part of Bhumandala. It's a region that's the topography is relative. There's mountains, but relatively flat. It's not a globe. It's just a depiction of the structure of this universe that's describing the region in which this Earth planet, which is round, is found, and its topography is flat. But you know, it's a little oversimplification what I just said. But, you know, if you're interested, you're going to have to spend some time going through it carefully, because it's the picture, the paradigm is very different. It's totally different. But it accurately describes the structure of the universe. Just like this is Purushottam month, right? So what does that mean? And it has to do with Vedic cosmology. There's the movement of the sun. It's a calendar. It's a wave. Because there's some calendars are entirely solar. Some calendars are entirely lunar. And some calendars, the Vedic calendars, is both. It's lunar, solar. So the movements of the moon and the movements of the sun don't match. So the Vedic calendar adds this extra month to compensate for the fact that they don't match. But it's everything tied together with Vedic cosmology. And it's very accurate, extremely accurate, very precise. You know, the numbers work better than the Western astronomy numbers work. I mean, it's a big topic. I know somebody that has their PhD in America, and they want to become really learned in the Vedic picture and interface with scholars that are Western scholars, so the Western scholars can take a look at the Vedic picture of the structure of the universe and have their mind teased. Because the picture is very different. Not to like, you know, pin him to the mat and beat him up or something. Just to have them look at the world around them differently than they're used to looking at the world around them. Rather than using the senses, you use wisdom. And you can describe everything using wisdom that doesn't rely upon fallible senses.
One last question. One last.
I mean, here's one of the things that really I just laugh at. You know, the what keeps planets in orbit is gravity. There's only one problem with that theory. There's about 90% of the mass of the universe that's missing. Maybe we have the wrong theory of what holds planets in orbit. No, we say black holes and you just can't see it all. It's over in a black hole there and it sucks in some more mass and you just can't see it right now because it got disappeared in a black hole. Well, we're working on it. We're getting the numbers. We're now it's at 80% instead of 90% is missing. There's something wrong with the model. Empiric science has the bucket has some holes in it. So now here's another model that doesn't have holes in it. Well, wait a minute. We don't see a mountain that's 80,000 miles tall. So show me. You know, I rely on my senses and how I interpret the data of my senses. It's the paradigm is a different paradigm. And in very thoughtful Western educated people can take a look at the different paradigm and go, that's really fascinating. I can't see it with my senses, but it's very measurable and very quantifiable and very, you know, it's been going on for centuries. More than centuries. Go ahead. Last thing.
According to Vedic,
cosmology?
Yeah, cosmology or even philosophy.
Okay.
Do parallel universes exist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It describes it in a different way, but for sure. And matter and antimatter and all that stuff. It's just like the description is, you know, it's interesting. They've got some speculation going on. But they really don't have the whole picture because they're relying on their senses and their power to reason. But that's never going to get you the complete knowledge and perfect knowledge. But yeah, sure. Sure. Go ahead. You're on. You didn't forget, did you?
No.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying in the beginning of the class that whoever stands in front of a valley, his half strength goes to valley.
Yeah, so that was a benediction from Indra to his son.
So does that count with Rama?
No. No, of course not. He's the controller of Indra. Not Indra is the controller of him. Okay. That was a clever question, by the way. You have something?
Maharaj, you said that the arrow that killed Vali in the seven trees would not have worked for Kumkaran.
Would not have worked for?
For Kumkaran, to kill Kumkaran.
I didn't say that. Acharya say that. Uh-huh. But go ahead.
So, what's the reason behind that? I mean, that comparison is there.
Just that Kumbhakarna was the most formidable foe that Ram encountered. That's all.
A follow-up question to what Shresh has been asking, that, you know, the modern scientists all believe that the world came from a big bang. I mean,
once upon a time, right?
Yeah, well, but I mean, even a small thing you go without being controlled cannot be made. How could they even believe that something could come with a big bang and that is going on? So, you know, this world is...
It's very childish, isn't it? And then it takes, you know, more scientists to come along and debunk the big bang theory as if it's something worthy of being debunked. It's losing its popularity rapidly. I don't know the detail. But that's the understanding I have. It's losing its traction a lot. So we probably have some online questions, but we don't have time. Only one? We'll take one and then we're going to end. Could you take the microphone over to him? Thank you.
Question is from Amara Mataji. Is there any specific reason that Sri Ram hid and killed Vali when he could have easily killed him by coming before him? Sorry if I missed that part.
There is some... There is an explanation of that, and I can't remember for sure. My recollection goes in the direction of he wanted to uphold the words of Indra, and so he did it that way. Something like that. He didn't want to violate the demigod something or other, so he did it the way that he did it, to uphold the words of the demigods. Something like that. But I'll find out. We'll talk about it tomorrow.